Hi, teacher mama. Roberta here for just a brief moment to tell you and remind you about our one-on-one coaching. It's a one-time coaching session for 25 minutes and then a check-in either a week or two later. And it's extremely helpful. And so I wanted to just hop in and tell you what one of our clients is saying. So Miss Amanda said she is extremely thankful. That's what she titled the review. When I met with Ashley, she listened to my woes of being a mom, wife, teacher, and gave me amazing tips to help balance my schedule and find a great routine for after school. It was like an amazing therapy session, and the accountability really helps. I highly recommend this for anyone who feels like they need help figuring out scheduling routines to make life easier for everyone. Every time I walk past my uncluttered kitchen table, the previous catch-all of our home, I am so grateful. Thank you all so much. Well, thank you, Amanda, for that beautiful review. I love listening in to Amanda's coaching session because she has such a poetic way of explaining our roles as mom, wife, and teachers. She says it in such a way that I was nodding my head, like, yes, preach. That is exactly right. And also, that's why Ashley and I are here. So if you haven't gone and listened to that episode, Amanda gave us special permission to use her coaching session as a podcast episode. We just used a small part of it. And that episode is 170. And you can hear, just feel, you can feel so validated. So I highly recommend going and listening to episode 170. And if you are interested in coaching, the link is in our show notes. Otherwise, you can go to www.theteachermamas.com/power-routine. All right, back to the show. Do you ever get to bedtime and think, I am just not ready for bed? I still have too much to do, or you lay there and you just can't stop thinking? Well, Teacher Mama, this episode is for you.
Do you wish you could stop using up all your patience and energy in the classroom so that you have some left for your own kids when you get home? Are you sick of coming home to a constant mess and never-ending to-do list that it feels like you're working a second job? Are you ready to turn off your teacher brain at the end of the day so you can transition into mom mode? Welcome to the Teacher Mamas Podcast, where you're gonna learn time and stress management strategies and routines so you have the energy to pour back into your family and the things that matter most to you. Hi, I'm Roberta.
And I'm Ashley. We are both wives and teacher mamas with a combined 28 years in education. We've both been that exhausted, overstimulated, and stressed out teacher mom, and we both brought way too much work home, struggled with keeping up on house chores, and did zero things we enjoyed outside of school. We realized that if we were going to live more energetic and balanced lives, we needed to learn different routines and time and stress management strategies. So we created a plan that made teaching, momming, and wiping easier and fun again.
If you're ready to find time for yourself, your family, faith, and home, go grab your favorite drink, a notebook and pen, because we are about to dive in.
Welcome back to another episode of the Teacher Mamas Podcast. We're on episode 179. And today is an episode that is really close to my heart. It's something that I'm honestly still working on. When I was preparing for this episode, I was journaling things out. I was writing out what I wanted to talk about. And I had this epiphany. Has that ever happened to you? You're getting ready for maybe teaching a lesson or you're talking to your kids, and all of a sudden, you just get this big aha moment. Well, that happened to me while I was preparing for this episode. I know that this strategy is helpful because I've used it and it helps. But let me just talk about the strategy real quick. Okay, we're going to talk about journaling and why that's helpful. before bed, or why it's helpful to do throughout the day so that you're ready for bed. And I know that it's helpful. I know that it helps me, but I often have a really hard time starting. I have a hard time just picking up the pen and getting started. I stare at the blank page and just stare at it and don't even touch the pen to the paper. And sometimes, honestly, I'll give up. Or even just the thought of picking up the pen and having a blank piece of paper is enough to be like, nope, I'm not going to even do it. I don't need to do it. Well, I've been wondering, like, why do I do this? I know if I actually do it, I'm going to feel better. I know that because I've done it before. So why do I still have this roadblock? So as I was getting ready for this episode, this is what I realized. I realized that actually starting the journal process means that I have to acknowledge that there is a problem. I may subconsciously know there's a problem, but I'm not ready to admit it. And if I admit it, then it becomes more real. And I am someone who tries my best to avoid the problem instead of dealing with it. And that's just been a coping strategy that is not helpful. It's not a useful strategy, but it's something that I have just adopted over the years. And now I have to really consciously change it. And I'm glad I had this realization, and I'm hoping maybe it'll help some of you as well, that maybe that is why journaling is hard, because then we have to acknowledge that there is a problem, that we are feeling a negative emotion, and that maybe we're afraid to work through it. We're afraid of what might come out in that journaling process. But I'm here to say to you and to myself, it is worth it. The more we avoid whatever it is that's going on, the more it's going to just eat away at us. And I know this, the more I avoid something, the stronger the feeling gets until finally I am left with no other choice but to work on whatever it is that is causing that feeling. And so this realization has helped me realize, well, of course I want to work on whatever it is when it starts, before it gets to be a big feeling or a big issue. I want to catch it when it's small. And that makes sense, right? It makes sense. So now that I know, like, oh, I don't really want to acknowledge that there's a problem, just having that realization, I think, is going to help me moving forward and actually journal. So today's sleep tip, and before I get into that, I just want to mention too, like, the more we avoid things, the more stress we have, because when we avoid or when we don't work through something, then it's still in our body. And we might not even like feel the stress as much anymore. Like maybe the situation has passed, but we didn't deal with it. But we also like, there's enough space between the situation and where we currently are that we feel like we've moved on. But that stress from our body, if we haven't dealt with it in a healthy way, it's still going to be there somewhere. And something could happen that triggers that stress to bubble back up. Equally though, it could also be, there's just enough stress in your body that your sleep quality is suffering from it. And so maybe you're noticing that your sleep quality is just not where you want it to be, and you can't figure out why. This is a strategy that's going to be really helpful. Okay, so today's sleep tip can be used in two ways. The first, and this is one that I'm going to work on myself, is a proactive routine and strategy. What I mean by this is that we're just using it on a regular basis, whether we're feeling something or not, whether we need to or not. So if we're feeling good, we're still using the strategy, and because it's a good practice, it's a good routine, and it's a good hygiene moment, right? Because like I said, like, we might not notice those stressed feelings anymore, but if we haven't dealt with whatever it was that was causing that stress in the first place, it will sneak up in various ways like disrupting our sleep. So using it as a proactive routine is the first way it could be used. The second way is as a reactive solution. You know, those nights where sleep just won't come, on those nights where you really just need to journal out something that happened or something you're feeling, then it's going to be very helpful to help move through whatever it is, release the stress, release whatever it is that's bothering you so that your body can move on and be ready for sleep. Your brain can move on. So either proactively or reactively, we can use this strategy. And I've got three prompts, journaling prompts that can help you get started. Because I think if we can even just start our journaling, if we're just like staring at that empty page, that's another thing that's just really hard sometimes for our brains. We see this big open page and we're thinking, okay, I have to fill it with words, but I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start. It feels too overwhelming. So I'm just not going to even try. And we may not be thinking that consciously, but I would guess subconsciously, something like that might be happening if you're having a hard time journaling. So start with one of these questions. You can write out the question because you don't have to acknowledge anything at that point. You don't have to think about what to say. You're just writing out a question. Okay, so here are the three questions. I'm going to say the three questions and then kind of give an example of when you could use each one. So, and also it could just be like, this is the question I'm feeling today. This is what popped into my head. I'm going to write it down and start there. The first question is, what is bothering me? Simple. What is bothering me? The second question, what am I feeling? And the third question, what do I need to let go of? Okay, those are three journaling prompts that can help you as you're getting started with this journaling practice. And so for number one, what is bothering me? So an example of that would be maybe you had a hard day at work. Maybe you had a conversation with someone that bothered you. Maybe your husband is sleeping. And you're annoyed that he can sleep because you're wide awake and unable to sleep, right? Or maybe bedtime just was so frustrating. The kids kept getting out of bed, or like we've had this great routine and all of a sudden, why was today awful? Why did we have a hard time getting the kids to bed? And it's bothering you. Those are the things that instead of stuffing down and putting deep down and trying to push out and avoid, what is bothering me? Just write it down. What is bothering you? Why is it bothering you? And of course, you get all that out on paper and you're going to notice that your body feels different at the end because there is something so magical about getting things out on paper. You're getting it out of your brain, out of your body, and onto paper. And something just magical happens. And sometimes that is all you need to do is write down what it is that's bothering you. That's it. Writing it down, acknowledging it. That's all you need. There are other times where you're going to want to take it a step further and say, okay, yes, this is bothering me. Now I need to brainstorm some solutions. And so then there's a space for that. Make a list of some options. Write a list of things that you could do to problem solve. Write down what you could have said instead. You know, the example of the kids getting out of bed. We had that situation just a couple of nights ago. My kids all of a sudden decided they wanted to switch beds because my daughter has a lofted bed. My son does not. And they just got it in their heads that they were going to switch one night. Fine, whatever. Well, then an hour after bedtime, here walks in my five-year-old son and he's going, I can't sleep. I miss my bed. And just like at that point, I was frustrated because I was almost asleep myself. And, you know, sometimes we're just not at our best parenting moment. And I didn't handle it the way that I wish I would have. And so, I mean, eventually we got them to switch back beds and they went to bed, but it was late. It was later than it should have been. Both were cranky in the morning because they didn't get enough sleep. And I felt bad because I didn't handle the situation with love and grace like I would have wanted to. And so that's the example. What's bothering me? Well, that time was bothering me. The way that it went down bothered me. Why did it bother me? Well, they switched beds. They didn't really ask. They just kind of did it and I just let it happen. And that time didn't go the way we wanted to anyway, because normally my husband takes care of it, but he was not available that night. So I was doing it. So our routine was already mixed up. And, you know, the list just kind of kept going. And then the situation with wanting to switch back beds because he couldn't sleep in her bed. He just could not fall asleep. And so I wrote down the things that I wish I had done. I wish I had used kind and understanding words like, oh, buddy, that is really hard when you're not in your own bed. It's so hard to fall asleep when you're not in the comfort of your own bed. I don't like that either. I don't like sleeping in someone else's bed. I understand. So I wrote down the things that I wish I had said instead. I wish I had done instead. And next time, not that this exact scenario will happen again, but then I've mentally rehearsed what I wish I would respond with instead. And that's going to help me next time. The next time I feel triggered, it's going to help me remember to use the phrasing that I want to use and not that automatically kind of comes up. And so what is bothering me is the first prompt. And a lot can come out of that. But again, it doesn't have to. It could be really simple. It might just even be a sentence about what's bothering you, and that might be all you need. You might need a couple pages of writing down what's bothering you. Number two is, what am I feeling? Okay, and this is one that as an Enneagram 6 is really helpful for me because I'm not always in tune with my feelings. In fact, I would argue that I'm pretty much never in tune with my feelings. I'm in my head all of the time. So if you're familiar with the Enneagram, there are three main types. There's the head type, there's the heart type, and the gut type, okay? The heart type is really in tune with their feelings and their emotions. They know what they're feeling. They know. The gut, they're more in tune with their feelings too. They're led by like instinct. But the head type, which I am definitely part of, you are in your head all the time, overanalyzing everything. You are thinking before you are feeling. And that's not always helpful. And so this journaling prompt is really helpful. What am I feeling? I have to actually stop and figure it out, which is still funny because I'm using my brain to figure out my feelings. But that's what I have to do. So I tend to struggle a lot with anxiety. And I think a lot of that is because I'm very out of sync with my feelings. And anxiety is definitely one of those secondary emotions. And I think a lot of times anxiety comes from a whole bunch of emotions kind of coming together to create this nasty feeling. And again, I tend to avoid the anxiety because I don't want to feel it. And obviously avoiding it is not going to help, but that's what I do. So I have to journal like, okay, when I notice this anxiety feeling, I have to stop and think and journal. What am I actually feeling? Yes, I'm feeling anxious. That's easy for me to identify, but what is causing it? What are those emotion words? And I need to get as specific as I can with feeling words. And sometimes that means I have to bring up a list of feeling words to look at all the feeling words and come up with what it is I'm feeling. You know, maybe it's fear or anger or worry, embarrassment. All those different things. So I try to get as specific as possible when I'm doing this journaling exercise. And then I take it a step further and ask myself, where in my body am I feeling those things? And I write that down. And then why am I feeling it? And sometimes you don't know, and that's okay. But if you do know, then it can be helpful to write it out. And then again, is there anything you need to brainstorm? Is there anything you need to work on or fix or a solution or maybe a, like, what do I need to do to move on? Maybe it's a instead there's nothing I can do. Maybe it's a, I need to finish journaling and I need to get up and I need to move my body. Maybe I need to go on a walk. Maybe I need to do some jumping jacks. I need to do something to just release that pent up energy in my body. But it's journaling that out and figuring it out. And again, just writing out what it is I'm feeling and where I'm feeling it is often all that I need, because I'm acknowledging what it is. And that just gives our minds and our bodies this permission to release. So acknowledging it. What am I feeling? Where am I feeling it? And then maybe why am I feeling it? The third journaling prompt was, what do I need to let go of? And this is a question that I heard. It was a journal prompt I heard in an interview with Hal Elrod. He's our Miracle Morning guru, right? And if you're not familiar with Hal Elrod, I highly recommend you read one of his books or go listen to a podcast where he's interviewed. But he had this question in an interview I recently listened to, and it's a question he asks himself every morning. And I've started to do the same because I think it is so powerful. It sparked something in me, I guess, is the best way I can explain it. I'm like, oh, I like how that's phrased. I think that would be helpful. But I think it's powerful because maybe there's something bothering me from the first prompt. Like maybe there is something bothering me, but also equally as possible, maybe there's nothing I can do about it. And I just have to let it go. I'm not great at that either. I think there are some people out there who can let things roll off right off their back and it literally doesn't bother them. And that is not me. I am working towards that, but it's not me. I hold on to things. And so having this question of what do I need to let go of prompts me to think it through. Again, I am a person who is in my head all the time. And so allowing myself space to think about how can I let this go and then doing it is helpful. Again, sometimes just writing it out, like this is the thing I need to let go of. And I acknowledge that. And I know that that might be all that's needed. And so I can journal out what it is and then work on letting it go or learning how to let it go. And by writing it down again, that might just be enough of an energy shift to move forward. But sometimes then I might need to do like a tapping meditation to help me shift the energy in my body and truly feel like I have let it go. And so I use an emotional freedom technique, tapping meditation, where I tap on the different parts of my body that are included in that EFT, emotional freedom technique, and thinking about the thing that I want to let go of. And saying statements like, I want to feel better. I want to let go of whatever. I want to let go of this situation. I don't want to worry about it anymore, whatever it is. And there are, of course, guided meditations that help, but you don't have to. Even just tapping on these points is helpful. So like I've gone over EFT tapping in the past, but it's been a long time. So the easiest way for EFT tapping is just type that into a search bar. Type in EFT tapping points, and you can see the points on like a diagram, which is really helpful. But basically, it's the top of your head, and you just pat it gently, top of your head, between your eyebrows, on the side of your eye, under your eye, like in that sinus cavity, which feels so good for me. I feel so much energy getting released when I'm tapping on that point. And then if you had a mustache, it would be like the right, you know, between your nose and your upper lip, tapping there, tapping on the little indent of your chin between, you know, your bottom lip and the point of your chin, your collarbone, and then the side of your body. If you're a woman and you have like a bra, like imagine where your bra strap would be on the side of your body. That is a tapping point. And I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. And then you go back up to the top of your head and you just cycle through those points as you're thinking about whatever it is that you want to release. And you'll just notice that your body starts to relax and that that thing is getting released. And so, and then you can start thinking about like positive affirmations to instead to replace it with. But that's what I do. I love tapping to help me when journaling just isn't quite enough. I need something a little bit more, then I move to tapping, and that's incredibly helpful. All right, so those are the three journaling prompts. What is bothering me? What am I feeling? And what do I need to let go of? And again, you can either do this at night when you're laying there and you're just like, I can't fall asleep. Okay, turn on your lamp, grab a notebook, journal it out. Journal it out. You're going to notice a shift in your body, and then maybe you can go right to sleep, or maybe that's when you say, okay, I need to get up and drink a glass of water, or I need to just walk around for a little bit, or I need to read something joyful, and then I can go to sleep. Like you'll figure out what that is for you. But you could do that as a reaction, right? I can't fall asleep. Okay, here's my strategy. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to journal and answer one of these prompts. The other option is that it's just part of your routine. I love having a journal routine. When I was a classroom teacher, that was one of the ways. One of the transition things that I did between work and home was journaling about my day. As a classroom teacher, if you're a classroom teacher, you know that there are days where so many things can happen and you just need to get it out. There are so many things that could have bothered you or worried you, and it's like, I just got to write it all out, right? And so that's a really helpful practice. And that goes to any job, really. You finish a job and it's like, oh, this is really bothering me. What can I do? I just need to get it out on paper so that it's not like ruminating in my brain all night. And so that could be a really great time. Like, I'm gonna always journal between work and home, or maybe, like for me, I'm doing it right away in the morning. But even by doing it in the morning, that benefit is still there by the time I go to bed. So using it as a proactive strategy or and implementing it as part of a routine somewhere in your day is going to really help. You're going to notice that it helps with your sleep because you're not letting things stay cooped up. You're always getting it out on paper. So one of those two ways is they're both really helpful, and there isn't one that's better than the other necessarily. It's what works for you and what you have time for. But if you're like me and you have a hard time starting, I would encourage you to take some time and figure out why. Why do you have a hard time starting? And did what I say resonate with you, or maybe is it something else? All right, teacher mama, I could keep talking about journaling for a really long time, and so I'm gonna hold a boundary and be done because I talked about the three prompts. So I hope that you have a fantastic week. I hope that you take these prompts and you use them and you make them your own and you notice the benefits yourself of a journaling practice. Have a great week, teacher mama.
Hey, Teacher Mama, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and leave a review on Apple Podcasts? It lights us up to know this podcast is helping you.
Also, please share this with a friend who might need it today. Okay, time to go spend all that extra time we have with our families. No more stressing out over schoolwork that didn't get done before contract time. We'll meet you back here in a couple of days for another episode.
Bye!